Krispy Kreme. Hey, Money Maker Mac. A Christmas song. First thing on my list, go figure. It's a brand new John Cena action figure. Second thing on my list, guess what? It's a really cute girl with a really cute butt. Mike said, Krispy Kreme, hold up. Mom said you're not allowed to touch a girl's butt until you're grown up. That's right, I forgot about that rule. Not allowed to touch butts until you graduate from school. But that's alright, cause third on my list is a brand new John Cena watch for my wrist. Now we're moving on to item number four. It's a brand new John Cena poster for my door. Check it out, y'all. Item number five is a brand new John Cena car that I can drive. Well, I can't really drive it cause it's too small, but I could if I was maybe like this tall. Christmas, Christmas, come check out my wish list. Have I been a good boy? That's none of your business. I just want some good toys, can I get a witness? Got all of my homies yelling Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Hello, it is December 26th, 2012. We are just one day removed from Christmas, so maybe that song is a little dated, but I don't give a shit, I'm gonna do it anyway. Outside of that, I am broadcasting live from my mother's basement. That's right. And if the mine apocalypse didn't kill me, Snowpocalypse 2012 will surely kill me. That's right. Get ready. Because I'm going the rest of the day. 24 hours of me. Doesn't that sound great, ladies and gentlemen? It does. Alright, so I've got a few things I'd like to get out of the way before I die. Anyway, never really loved you, Mom and Dad, so go fuck yourselves. No, kidding. You can, of course, listen to this show on iTunes. Just search The Wrestling Troll or some shit. I don't even really know what this podcast is. I just sit here and talk to myself for an hour and someone manages to record it. There's also wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com. You can follow me over there and get the actual RSS feed, which is still up. I'm surprised no one hacked that after the episode I had last week. But hey, thanks for keeping that up just one more week. But the Illuminati will get to me, don't worry. If anyone gets to me, it'll be them, those lizard people, those evil, evil lizard people. They're coming for all of us. I might as well just warn you now. Be prepared, as I always was told. I don't even know where this is going. You can also email me at wrestlingtroll@gmail.com over there, and you can have your thoughts heard on this show. If not, just leave it in the subject line or somewhere in the email that you don't want to hear your thoughts on this show, but why wouldn't you? What else is there? There's, there's shit, and I gotta make sure my phone's on so I know everyone's good and dead by the time this show's over. If the snow didn't get to them, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I might have to take matters into my own hands with this one. But where was I going with this? Oh yeah, you can also follow me at twitter.com/WWETheComic or something. I don't know. I'll get around to making an actual Twitter account for this. I also have a new YouTube page up because I'm gonna get all that delicious YouTube monies. You can check that out at youtube.com/. I think it's The Wrestling Trollcast, or Wrestling Trollcast. Actually, I'm gonna do a little treat for you, the fans. I'm gonna do a live search of this right now, just so I don't accidentally plug someone else. Wrestling. I don't even think that first one fits. Yeah, it's Wrestling Trollcast. Let me see. Come on. Yeah, Wrestling Trollcast. Just made it recently. I'll start putting up the episodes there, and maybe extras. Maybe some extra stuff, you know, in the middle of the week when I got nothing else to do. because I host a wrestling podcast, so I don't really have much to do in the first place. Yeah. What else is there? Oh yeah, news. Let's get on into some news. News! THQ, WWE's video game publisher, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and will seek a buyer to help it recover from the years of business and creative missteps. You know, like Saints Row. No, just kidding. Like Saints Row. What's this? Oh, fuck you. Why don't you just die already? Slide off the road, bitch. Ah! The Agora Hills, California company is working with private investment firm Clear Lake Capital Group, which has agreed to enter a $60 million stalking horse bid for THQ's U.S. assets. Why? Any potential suitor for THQ will have to offer more than that. Don't count on it. I think it's a safe bet that you're going to keep it. Details of the move were made available in the following press release. Clear Lake officials to acquire THQ's assets via Section 363 under Chapter 11. Bullshit. Nobody gives a fuck. Gore Hills, California, leading worldwide developer and publisher of interactive entertainment software, today announced that it entered into an asset purchase agreement with Stalking Horse Bidder, affiliates of Clear Lake. Okay, nobody gives a fuck. The sale will allow THQ to shed certain obligations and merge with strong financial backing of a new owner with substantial experience in software and technology. To facilitate the sale, THQ and its domestic business have filed voluntary petitions under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware. The company's foreign operations, including Canada, are not included in the filings. The company has obtained commitments from Wells Fargo, rah, the Illuminati. I don't know. It sounds like something Alex Jones would freak out over, and I don't know where I'm going with this. Eugenics program. Reading is a difficult task for me. Not really understanding how that whole reading thing goes. Approximately 37.5 million subject to court approval, whatever. THQ will continue operating its business without interruption during the sale period, subject to court approval of THQ's first day motions. All of the company's studios remain open and all development teams continue. The company remains confident in its existing pipeline of games. THQ maintains relationships with some of the top independent development studios around the globe. Well, isn't that great? You're still fucking going out of business, you piece of shit company. As part of the sale, the company is seeking approval to assume the contracts of these studios, and Clear Lake will assume these contracts. The sale and filing are necessary next steps to complete THQ's transformation and position the company for the future. As we remain confident in our existing pipeline of games, the strength of our studios, and my voice that suddenly changes as I continue to talk. And fuck you, dog. You are not going outside. I just let you outside right before I started this podcast. It's only been less than 9 minutes. And your stupid fat ass is trying to get outside in the middle of snowpocalypse. Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. I don't think he said any of that, but we remain confident in our existing pipeline of games, the strength of our studios, and THQ's deep bench of talent. Oh, now you want to go in the other part of the house. Yeah, no, fuck off. Walk up the steps back into the house, because I record in my mother's basement. Said Brian Farrell, chairman and CEO of THQ, "We are grateful to our outstanding team of employees, partners, and suppliers who have worked with us through this transition. We are pleased to have attracted a strong financial partner for our business, and we hope to complete the sale swiftly to make the process as seamless as possible." You know, when companies go out of business and file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. You know, just normal stuff. According to Jason Rubin, who joined THQ as president last May, we have incredible creative talent here at THQ. We look forward to partnering with the experienced investors for a new start, as we will continue to use our intellectual property assets to develop high-quality core games, create new franchise titles, and drive demand through both traditional and digital channels, like UDraw. That widespread commercial success that it was. Clear Lake has agreed to serve as the stalking horse bidder for a Section 363 sale process, which allows other interested parties to come forward with, okay, nobody gives a fuck, nobody gives one single fuck about that. Okay. More on WWE 14, in case you were wondering, with the recent announcement that WWE video game publisher THQ has filed for bankruptcy, WWEGaming.com reports that next year's WWE 14 will be released as planned. The site notes that despite the company's perilous financial situation, don't worry, it's all okay. There's enough money to be budgeted to develop next year's installment of the game. No word yet on the game's theme, but we can confirm that it's currently in development. So hooray. People are going to lose their job, but don't worry. There's another WWE game scheduled to release next year. And Saints Row. Saints Row's all right. Okay. And, in case you didn't get enough of your Hulk Hogan fix a few weeks ago, I've got more right here. In a recent news article posted by The Guardian, celebrities were asked what they wanted for Christmas. Christmas, come check out Hulk Hogan's wish list. When Hulk Hogan was asked, this was his response. Knee surgery. I've had 8 back surgeries. I've had knee replacements, brother. I've had both hip replacements. I only need one more surgery, dude, brother Jackoff, to fix my right knee, dude. Then I'm gonna go for the TNA World title. I want to be 59 years old and be the champion. And Hulkamania's running wild until my knees explode, dude, brother Jack. Hulkamania. That'll put asses in seats, Hogan. Come see the immobile orange giant with the toy belt. TNA. WWE has officially. How does it work? WWE has officially announced that the January 14th episode of Raw from Houston, Texas will be a special 20th anniversary show. It is expected that the show will feature appearances from various legends and highlight clips from the show's 20-year history, but won't be anywhere near as big as Raw's 1,000th episode celebration from the past summer. What a relief. For a second there, I actually thought I would enjoy Monday Night Raw. But I got my hopes up, I was expecting something, and just like typical WWE fashion, they let me down. WWE recently reached out to Martha Hart, widow of the late Owen Shart, about getting Owen inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame's class of 2013. According to PWInsider.com, WWE inducting Owen would be part of a settlement agreement that would involve Martha Hart ending her ongoing lawsuit against WWE. She reportedly turned down the offer. Good job. And, if you happen to miss the backlash on the internet, it went something like this. How fucking dare you? Who do you think you are? The widow of Owen Hart? All they did to him was essentially murder him in order to pull off some ridiculous stunt for a mid-card fucking joke segment. Fuck you and your feelings toward the company. Owen Shart deserves to be in the less than prestigious WWE Hall of Fame. Fuck you! Fuck you! And I think the news is over. And we might as well. Oh shit. Nose. Might as well just get into this whole Raw recap here. You know how think you all know how this works out. Raw recap. With the return of Ezekiel Jackson last week, what could WWE possibly have in store for us tonight? Or if you're listening to this whenever the fuck it happens, will Bobby Lashley enter a feud with Sheamus? Will AJ finally explain why she turned on Cena and brought back Mark Henry? Will Alberto Del Rio's face turn ever make sense? Is WWE on the fast track to an interesting product? Or will this be just some other shitty Christmas episode where they bring out Santa and include him in some shitty angle that night? No. They definitely wouldn't do that one. Right. Anyway, the show opens with the same video I'm sure a few people saw on WWE's YouTube channel. That is, if you're subscribed to that. If you are, why? Anyway, that being the Christmas Carol, where the heels and faces come together to stand on the stage and sing Christmas music. Hooray for Jesus magic! And I actually almost considered putting Jesus in the title for this week's episode, which would have made it the third consecutive week he made it into the episode name, and really starting to think I've developed this unhealthy fetish for the little guy. But anyway, they play that video, and Cena's the conductor, because he runs the company. He's his own man. And even cartoon Cena doesn't like CM Punk. What the fuck am I talking about anymore? I don't know. That's just what my notes say. Anyway, this show is immediately distracting because they begin piping in the fake crowd reactions. So, I knew this was pre-taped. Just right away. Just everyone's suddenly so excited for the beginning of Raw after they retreated to that horrible fucking video package.
Yeah, I saw Big Show singing. Fuck yeah!
Anyway, Santa is introduced as the guest host for tonight, and the crowd erupts.
Woo! Santa!
Wow. I'm just looking at this, look at this old Audacity software here. I think some of you might know what that is, and I'm sorry, but 1730 is just ear fuck full of ear rape. Anyway, about this whole Santa thing, I don't know about you, but when I go to a show for Monday Night Raw, I go to see a fictitious character created for Christmas that only children believe in. That's right, I'm talking about everybody's friend Jesus. Aww. Now I'm ruining it for the adults. Michael Cole says he hopes Santa brought him something this year. Because he's been a good Michael Cole this year. Hey, I've been a good Michael Cole too. Then Del Rio interrupts Santa and hits him with a car. Yep. So much for that heel, or that face turn, whatever. Fuck, ruin that. Mexicans are bad drivers. Anyway, Santa is hauled off by the paramedics in a stretcher. And then a replay shows the horrific accident at the hands of the face talent. And in case you were wondering, I am not making any of this shit up. Del Rio killed Santa in a head-on collision going 5 miles per hour into the arena. Yes, that happened. That's how WWE thought they would start out this Raw. Forget that one part of Nation of Domination returned last week, Titus O'Neil, and attacked Cena at the end of the show. No, let's start out with Santa giving out presents to all the little boys and girls, and then he gets hit by a wet Mexican. I don't know if he's wet. All I know is he drives into the arena with his shirt off. Okay. Well, where the fuck am I going with it? I don't fucking know anymore. All I know is this is just a great start to what can only be a great Monday Night Raw. And those of you following along with me in this journey, I know you can't wait to see what else they have in store for us on this Christmas edition of Monday. I mean, I'm sorry, secular holiday edition of Monday Night Raw. Don't want to offend the Jews or anything. I already pissed off Christians, I'm sure, but fuck everyone today. I'm in that kind of mood, and yeah, because everyone I know is still alive, and I was really counting on them to die by the time I was halfway through this recording. It's 8:09, and everyone's still alive, the last I checked. Anyway, back from the commercial break, Del Rio's BMW is part of a crime scene investigation, and Cole uses his Owen Hart voice to describe the terrible event that just transpired. Well, you know, Santa was involved in a hit-and-run earlier in the night, and folks, this is not part of tonight's entertainment, and in this business, something like this happens, and reaching out to the Claus family right now, trying to get in contact with them, but so far they have not returned any of our calls. Santa's being escorted out of the building, and we'll meet paramedics at the local hospital, and it's not looking all too great for Santa right now, but keep him in your thoughts and Jeebus prayers, because magical Jeebus is going to come down from the heavens and touch Santa in many ways that we couldn't imagine, and his magical Jeebus hands are going to cure Santa's bruises and ouchies and I guess we might as well get through this Raw, because I'm getting really tired of using this monotone, serious voice, and I'd kind of like to get back to my monotone, serious voice. Okay, is that okay? All right, transition, motherfucker. This is Ben Robinson. Transition time. All right, you see how I did that? It's called a transition, bitch. Anyway, where was I in these crazy notes? The roster is seen backstage crying over Santa. Cena comes running up to Del Rio and yells at him to the very worst of his acting abilities. And Booker T says that just before Santa lost consciousness, he set up a match between Del Rio and Cena as the blood exited his brain and filled up the tin backstage. Ho, ho, ho! Before I die, I want to set up a match between the guy that killed me and the giant purple man. Ho, ho, ho. Now, you know, Santa's not doing too well, kids, but don't worry. John Cena has a match with his attacker later on tonight, and we can just only remind you that this is not part of tonight's entertainment, because the show is not fucking entertaining at all. Now, keep in mind, children, that you can always change the channel any time you want, but for some reason, you keep on tuning into this shit week in and week out. Creative has spent the better part of the last 4 years doing everything they can to keep you from watching this show, but you just keep fucking watching and buying all of our shitty-ass merchandise. I just don't understand it, and neither does Jerry.
Yeah, that's right! Meet me backstage, children! Lame joke! Check out my Ed Hardy t-shirt I'm wearing tonight! Mickey Mouse.
Apparently, what we can learn from this segment is that a guy dressed as Santa now has authority on WWE TV, so we don't need a general manager. We can just have anybody get hit by a car any fucking day, and suddenly they have power in a publicly traded company with shareholders. Don't need logic. This is Monday Night Raw. And also Cena screams for Santa! And the first match of the night begins. There goes my hopes and dreams for an edgier product. is like a bad episode of Roseanne. And, you know, anything past like season 4 or 5. I really wish I were making this up right now, but I took time out of my day on Christmas Day. Yeah, I celebrate Christmas. A lot of people do. To watch this shit. Took time out of my Christmas to watch this. No wonder I can't get laid. Fuck me, my life is over. The mustaching Cody Rhodes squares off against Kane. It's funny because he looks like an 80s porn star. And I still don't understand the whole mustache thing, though. Is it supposed to be his new gimmick, where all the other ones they suddenly lost interest in? You know, dashing Cody Rhodes, bag face Cody Rhodes, monotone warrior Cody Rhodes. Mustache is the gimmick they're gonna stick with out of all of these. This was the guy who was named the most attractive man on the roster by the WWE Divas. Why does he want to ruin it now? Jerry Lawler says that he hopes Cody asks Santa for a better mustache. Maybe you should ask for a better heart, Jerry. And his heart grew 3 times that day.
Ha! Oh shit! It's bursting out of my chest!
Now folks, this is Michael Cole once again. I'd like to remind you that the events earlier tonight and what just transpired moments ago were not part of tonight's entertainment. Jerry Lawler's heart just exploded on live television, and we are currently in the process of picking up the remnants of Jerry Lawler. Did I say Jeff Hardy before? I don't fucking know if I said Jeff Hardy, but Jerry Lawler's heart exploded. And I'm sure Jeff Hardy's will eventually. It's just a matter of time before that cocaine gets to him. But we'll be waiting. We'll be waiting, Jeff. Well, I haven't been nearly as edgy as last week's episode, but I'm still close enough. But there is one thing I'll never be edgier than. 2012 WWE. Did you know they almost showed Santa getting hit by a parked car? Fuck, I have to watch all 3 hours of this immediately. Attitude Era fans, if you haven't already, kill yourselves. And if there's any of you left by the end of this episode or the end of the night, I salute you by making it this far. And I'm going to look out the window to, holy shit, the snow just keeps coming. Snow just keeps coming. Still have power for now, but I'll be dead within the hour. Everyone's still alive. Fuck this bullshit. Anyway. Whoa, got way too far away from the microphone. Now, how's that? Does that sound better? Okay, wow, we are almost 30 minutes into this show. This is the kind of quality entertainment I provide you week in and week out. And remember, you can go over to my PayPal. That's right, wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com. And you can donate to help keep this show on the air. Because I am almost out of space. Hooray, I have less than a gigabyte of space left for storage on the servers, and I'm not paying $200 a year to keep the show up. $99 is enough. $99 is enough. All right. Anyway, if there is a reason to off yourself, this episode was full of Christmas puns. I heard at least 8 within the first 20 minutes of the show. Did you know that the night after Raw is Christmas?
There's some fucking Christmas puns! Holy shit! Holy fucking shit, WWE! I had no idea Christmas was the day after this week's episode of Raw, which happens to fall on Christmas Eve. I don't know what a calendar is. Oh, thank you!
I don't know why I did that. And then 4 more Christmas puns are made before the commercial break. And coming up after the commercial break, the sluts come out for their 2.5 minutes of screen time. That's right. It's time for Santa's Little HIV 8 Diva match. Actually, I can't call them sluts when they're all fully clothed. Modestly dressed women. WWE knows my true fantasies. Yeah. And next week we might get to see a little of Oksana's ankle. And like all women's matches, the only way to enjoy these is by pressing the fast forward button. And then WWE decides to commemorate the holiday season by introducing the first ever Lumberjack Frost match. There's a reason why that's a first time ever match, because it should have never fucking happened in the first place. That's just one of those things, much like the electrified steel cage, should have never happened.
Fire Russo! Clap, 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 clap. Fire Russo! Clap, 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 clap. Burn down Titan Towers! Clap, clap.
Whoa! No, please do it. I am still sick over a week later. It's been almost 2 weeks, actually. Anyway, AJ and Ziggler are backstage watching their favorite Christmas movie, AJ turning on Cena at TLC. That one's alright, but I enjoyed Christmas Vacation just a little more. Jerry is outside at the commentary booth, sporting his douchey shirt of the night, recapping the horrific tragedy that was a hit and run, and sound effects galore. Seriously, that video was, 2 parts acting and 14 parts sound effects and heavy editing. Boom! That's the sound it makes when human bones and flesh hit a car. Boink! And that's the sound a Christmas tree makes when it makes direct contact with the human skull. Whee! And that's the sound Mexicans make when they're running from the scene of the crime. I'm just gonna leave you with dead air here. I don't even fucking know anymore. I have a rant prepared later in the show. It's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. Just rereading or just going over these notes makes me want to die. I feel like 3 years of my life have just been drained from me just reading over the notes and recording this podcast. That's how terrible this show is. But what is Santa doing watching WWE the night before Christmas? The fuck was I doing watching this on the day of Christmas? Oh well. If you didn't figure it out by now, I don't like my family anyway. Fuck me, there's still so much to go through, because I think I saw at least 2 hours of this before my legal stream download of this stopped working. Hooray! And everyone's still alive. Fuck! Still alive. Thought they'd be dead by now. It's 8:30. Still alive. Motherfucker! Fucka! Anyway, Big Show and She-Male square off in their Lumberjack Frost match. The only difference between this and a Lumberjack match are the Santa hats. Fuck, did I mention how much I love WWE? Because I'm not sure if I've made it that obvious yet. I just love this shit. Anyway, Big Show and that guy that ruined a perfectly good episode of Conan fight. This match was an instant fast forward, like most of the matches on this show. Then a video package airs for Miz's interview with Kermit. This just gets better and better. Better and better throughout the night. They made a gay joke, if you were wondering. And it wouldn't be WWE without one. Gay jokes and puppets. This is what I spend valuable time on. Yep, that's right. Time. They say life is short, and you should live every day like your last. I, on the other hand, watch 3 hours of professional wrestling every week and record a podcast talking about it. I value my life so much. Then two puppets and The Miz exchange, "Really? Really? Really? Really's?" until every last one of my brain cells dies. That's clearing my throat. Hooray for professional podcast re. Damian Sandow interrupts and gets punched in the face. Moral of this story? Fuck if I know. This is WWE. It's not exactly the work of Christopher Nolan or Alfred Hitchcock. Then out in the ring, the shirtless oiled warrior, David Otunga, offers his comments on the Santa incident earlier in the night. Being that he is a lawyer, he should know that Del Rio can't be charged due to the fact that this is a shitty angle on their last episode of the year. Emphasis on last episode of the year. Because creative thought it would be okay to take the night off. Forget taking the night off. I could have sworn they took the last 10 years off. David Otunga whines about the fans being prejudiced. The fans then disagree and retort by booing the black man. Great argument, wrestling fans. Great argument. We aren't prejudiced, but fuck you, nigger. Fuck yeah, America. The South shall rise again unless the Illuminati gets to us. AJ and Ziggler are backstage exchanging gifts, but... Oh, wait, there's actually some stuff that happened before that. There's... Oh, yeah, Zack Ryder interrupts. Hooray! He interrupted David Otunga. No, fuck that guy. He had his chance. And then, before that, was the highly anticipated update of Santa S. Klausenstein. Mortenstein. Because he's a Jew. Fuck you, Jews, America, South shall rise again, unless the lizard people eat us. Barack Obama is one of them lizard people. Cletus, get your shotgun, we're going to D.C. All right! Anyway, AJ and Dolph Ziggler-Stein are backstage exchanging some gifts. Isn't that a great combination? A German-Jewish name. AJ gives him, that being the German-Jewish Ziggler-Stein, a dented Money in the Bank briefcase. She then skips around backstage, handing out damaged gifts to all the members of the roster. Aww, Jerry wanted a new 12-year-old boy to play with, but this one's broken. AJ then tells Ziggler that she has one more present for him, derobing to reveal her bare tits. Actually, no, it was Dolph Ziggler's merchandise. Ziggler looks shocked and says it's the sexiest thing he has ever seen. I agree, Dolph. I only fuck women as long as they wear a Rey Mysterio t-shirt. Nothing hotter than seeing Never Give Up while I'm going to town on the latest whore. Fuck yeah. Implying that someone that hosts a wrestling podcast actually has sex, though. Yeah, first you have to believe that. Just find it deep down in your heart that somewhere a wrestling podcast host is climbing out of his mother's basement, going into the crazy, wacky world of the woman's vagina. The Santa incident is recapped once again, and I hate myself even more now. Fuck my family, and fuck whatever this so-called life is. Brad Maddox comes out to a smattering of fake boos, and he sings Santa Claus is Coming to Town, adding in that Brad Maddox is coming to Raw. Not too familiar with that song, but I'm pretty sure that line's not in the original one. Then he fights a midget in an elf costume and a giant Indian elf friend. WWE is so funny! Indians dressed as elves. He's 7 feet tall. He's not an elf. He's too tall. Santa wouldn't let him be one of his elves. He's too fucking big. Plus, he's an Indian, and Santa hates you if you ain't what? Rock Cletus? Yeah, that's right. Now let's kill a boomer. Oh, shit. And Department of Homeland Security breaks down my doors in 3, 2, and fuck, here they are. Goodbye. I just thought I'd keep that going for a while. No, but I'm serious. Someone please bust me out of Guantanamo. I'm uploading this podcast from Guantanamo as we speak. Kali then takes on the ultimate challenge of the night, a formidable foe he has not yet faced in his lifetime. Kali is attempting to walk. See Kali and his daily struggles of being mobile. Kali is the Immobile Indian in theaters this February. I can't wait for this guy to die in the middle of his match against Titus O'Neil in 2 years. 3, 2, 1, cult of personality. Punk continues his edgy heel persona. That, you know, that thing? That edgy heel punk. By insulting the local sports team. That is the secret to success as a heel character in the WWE. Call the fans, you people, and tell them that the sports team they like is bad. You've really got to sit back and enjoy the complex, intricate writing of the show and the great lengths they go to create compelling characters and menacing antagonists. Wait, this isn't Breaking Bad? Oh, shit. What am I watching? Wrestling? Oh, shit. This is what I've done with my life. Fuck! Oh well, guess I might as well keep talking. Then White Biggie Langston interrupts Punk, which just reminded me of something. Just reminded me of something for whatever reason. John Cena was attacked by AJ's latest man, Bobby Lashley, and neither Cena nor AJ nor Dolph Ziggler or the commentary team have mentioned a single word about the attack at the end of last week's Raw. It's almost like they want you to forget it even happened. Then again, that seems out of place for creative, and more than likely, they forgot it even happened. That must be a great ability to have, though, because I sure wish I could forget the last 5 years of this show. Then a 12-man tag match between men that were never over happens. I sure do feel sorry for the kids that spent months convincing their parents to take them to see this show.
No, Mom, I swear it's gonna be good. Can you please buy tickets to Raw? Fine, little Billy, but this had better be worth it. It will, Mom, it will.
Boom, Santa gets hit by a car and nothing of consequence or importance happened. I understand that literally no one with a life is watching this, which would explain why I watched it and took notes. But could they at least, I know no one's watching, but could they at least put something halfway decent on? Or is that too much to ask from WWE? And then a tout ad airs, persuading you to download the app that everyone has. It's the social network conglomerate that's sweeping the nation. Even big celebrities use it. Big names such as Mitt Romney and Whoopi Goldberg use Tout. So go download it today. Oh, sorry. Whoopi Goldberg actually is relevant. After all, she did attack John Cena at the end of Raw last week. Black people look alike. I'm not racist. I have a black friend, so I can be racist to anyone. Backstage, Kane tells Daniel Bryan that he hates Christmas, but he bought Daniel Bryan a present. His very own Slammy. Just what everyone in the entire world would want. A shitty piece of plastic with cheap gold paint on it. Daniel Bryan gives Kane a puppy, and Kane eats it. Somebody call PETA. Oh. They're too busy making shitty parody games and taking pictures of naked celebrities on top of dead cows. Oh well. We'll find somebody else to get offended by this. Glad? Is Glad busy? Oh, they deal with... That doesn't really seem like it's up their field. They don't really deal with animals. Okay. Well, carry on then. Then AJ makes fun of Vicky for being fat. Fuck you guys, I have time to stall. It's so funny because her husband died fighting a toothbrush. This is the shit she has to put up with in order to receive pity money from WWE. I haven't said it nearly enough times today, so I'll say it again. Fuck WWE. Then AJ makes out with Ziggler, and he takes a bump and knocks over a Christmas tree. Sold like a pro. Shit, there's nothing he can do wrong. You know, except get saddled with female talent and a shitty love interest angle. This guy is a magnet for those. Ooh, he's never winning the world title. Backstage, the EMTs finally decide to take Santa to the hospital. LOL, Obamacare, am I right, guys? Fuck all of this. Multiple times, in the ass, without lube. Then Del Rio jobs to Santa and Cena in the final segment of the night. I know I say this far too often, but holy shit, I'm wasting my life on this. If that wasn't enough to convince you to kill yourself, I've got a little rant prepared for you, just in case. Because absolutely nothing happened, and everyone was subjected to 3 hours of vile shit the night before Christmas. I took time out of being with my family, not that I actually give a fuck about them, to watch this. What the fuck is it? Can we even call it programming at this point? Or is it destined to be that show that people are ashamed to admit they watch? There is no reason. There is no entertainment value to be found in this. I was in literal pain throughout the duration of this show. There were not even enough groans, not enough facepalms, not even enough quick applications to that fast forward button to ease the pain I experienced watching this show. This was, quite possibly, the absolute worst thing I have ever witnessed on my laptop screen, other than that time I watched a girl take it in the ass from a dog. On a serious note, fuck creative, fuck the people that agree to participate in this vile trash, and fuck me for even considering watching this. It's been great and all, but I have a date with the shotgun tonight. Du-du-du-du-du-du. And that was the Raw recap. Yeah. I still can't believe I am watching this. 4 years after I got interested in... Or 5, 6, 7 years after I got interested in the product, I'm still watching this shit in 2012. And it's gotten worse. I take notes now. I take notes and I record a podcast about this shit. I'm sorry to whoever the fuck might be listening to this out there, but I don't even know anymore. I didn't see something I enjoyed this week, though. Christmas Day, opening day for Django Unchained. Yeah. Fuck yeah. So at least I had one good thing to look forward to that day. But man, ooh, did people piss me off in the movie theater. I got there, we got there. No, I didn't go alone. I did not go alone for once, believe it or not. I was not alone in public to the thing most normal people go to with others. But, man, did the people there piss me the fuck off. Somebody in our group was taking just a little too long to get to the front door. So I stood there and held it open, and about 40 people walked in before me. So, you know, I'm normally... Actually, I'm an impatient person, so I freaked out within 5 seconds of having to stand in line. By the time we finally got up to the front, they asked us if we wanted to join a rewards club or something, and before I could even say no, someone in the group, same guy, said, "Oh yeah, sure." So I stood there for another 15 minutes waiting on... him/her, and finally I got the tickets, and we went into the movie theater, and what a surprise. There were, actually, before that, we stood in some line for 10 minutes before some lady came to us and said, "Are you standing in line to see Les Miserables?" Which I'd said, "Fuck no, I ain't watching that shit, I came here to see a bunch of black people get shot, bitch." No, I came here to see Tarantino. She's like, "Oh, this is the line for Les Miserables, because it's opening day. Fuck Tarantino. Nobody stays in line for that shit. The movie theater's that way." So then I responded to her by devouring her head and fucking her fucking her dead body. Because fuck you, bitch. I could have been in there enjoying all those delicious Coca-Cola commercials. Yeah, I was really missing out. But anyway, we got in there, and there wasn't an empty row, so we just sat down, and as we started to make our way into the row, this old couple looked horrified. "Oh God, somebody's gonna have to sit near us. Martha, get the shotgun. Get the off bug spray. This is gonna get crazy. Some shit's about to go down." And like all movies, everyone comes in, 5 minutes, right when the previews are starting, and, you know, when the movie was scheduled to begin. But, yeah, everyone starts walking, and then they just stand there at the bottom, like, "Holy shit, there's seats in this movie theater. Oh, God, I was planning on standing for 3 hours, but I guess I can sit down." They're just amazed to see seats in a movie theater. And then they just stand there in awe for another minute or two, just looking, "Oh my God, what do I do? I wasn't planning on sitting." So after everyone finally sits down and the previews are over, more people start piling in as the movie starts 20 minutes later. This is opening day, so as you can imagine, there were plenty of ads, plenty of previews. This is 20, almost 30 minutes later, and people are still fucking walking in with their giant vat of popcorn and diabetes on a stick. Like, "Oh, fuck, where are we gonna sit? Oh no, I might have to sit next to a random stranger for 3 hours. Fuck me for being inconvenienced. I want a refund for this movie I paid $40 to see." Fuck you. You can deal with it. You can put up with it for 3 hours to see Tarantino. But anyway, the movie itself, I'm not going to go into too much detail on it. I just like to complain about other people so I can feel better about myself. But anyway, the movie was fucking great, as you can imagine, as would any Tarantino movie be. It was pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking good. A lot of deep message in there, you know. And there was actual thought put into this, a clear vision. So obviously a huge step in the opposite direction from Monday Night Raw, but maybe I was delusional at the time. Maybe I was disillusioned by the horrible shit I put myself through just 2 hours before I went to the movies. But yeah, maybe you should just watch something really terrible before you go to see a movie. But yeah, it had the perfect blend of comedy, violence, plot, character development, all of it, you name it. But yeah, it's a Tarantino movie, so you should expect that when you go in there. Anyway, outside of that, I don't really have much left. Send me your emails. What'd you get for Christmas? Hooray. Nobody loves me, so I sat at home alone and cried myself to sleep. I made up that whole story about seeing Django Unchained. Django, Django, Django. There's proof that I saw the movie. A song from the movie. They played multiple times. There's more proof. Anyway, great movie, great acting. I am freezing. I think the power's about to go out. The snow is closing in on me. It's getting to me, but for some reason, everyone I know and pretend to love is still alive. Fuck this bullshit. What else is there? Remember, you can get into contact with this show by emailing wrestlingtroll@gmail.com. You can also follow me at WWE The Comic. I want to hear your thoughts, opinions on wrestling or whatever the fuck it is, video games, anything, any topic. I don't even have to be interested in it. I just like to hear from you, the fans. I also have a YouTube channel where you might be able to see additional bonus content throughout the week or the months, or if I ever decide to actually use it. Not promising anything, though. But, what else? What is there? Yeah, the YouTube account is Wrestling Troll Cast. That's Wrestling Troll Cast. You can listen to me on iTunes, but no Xbox Music Zune, whatever it's being called, and I think I'm gonna die. Winter Tornado, hooray! I'm on iTunes. Just search The Wrestling Troll. There's another podcast that'll pop up, but fuck that one. Pay no attention to it. I swear mine's the best there is. Now I'm advertising for other people, so you're welcome. I will accept payments to my PayPal, wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com. See that transition there? Brilliant. Brilliant transition. There you can find my PayPal, help pay for the show. You can also subscribe on Podomatic and get the RSS feed from there, and the shows also are available for download much faster through there because I uploaded those first before the iTunes accepts the feed, because that's how podcasting works. Okay, all right, outside of that, there's nothing else. So if I'm alive next week, which I really hope that's not the case, you'll hear another exciting edition of The Wrestling Troll. Until then, I'm Ben Robinson. Next week, I might be somebody else. Who knows? So see ya. See y'all next week. Unless the winter gets here. And one final... Yep, everyone I pretend to care about is still alive. Fuck.
Death will come quickly as the hard drive and rain. Yippee-tai! Boop 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 boop.